Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Spiegel and Company.
Spiegel and Company.
Afternoons on the Score.
This is the first time I have watched the Chicago Bears on film get thunder punched in the throat.
Super Bowl 26. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the champions of the National Football Conference, the Washington Redskins. At right guard from Idaho, number 69, Mark Schlereth.
It's a fascinating thing, and the Bears definitely invested more in skill position than the line of scrimmage. So.
Well, then wait, skill position, you and I are going to fight here, right? There's no greater skill than moving a man from point A to point B against his will.
Against his will, yes, sir.
Okay, there's no greater skill. Anybody can...
Let me
tell you.
First and goal at the one. Riggs is the deep back now. Touchdown.
First of all, they weren't fat. They were stubborn.
The Redskins are the world champions.
And this reminds me of a scene from the movie Rounders, right? When they're gambling, right. And Teddy KGB goes, you let them hanging around.
Denver takes over on downs at the 32, and the 13-year domination of the NFC apparently has come to an end.
Super Bowl championship for John Elway and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I could throw you a football, you could catch a throwback. If we did one-on-ones, I'd whip your ass out here, okay? So I just am like, there's a skill to it.
The offensive line. They don't talk, they just block.
Let's go! Very excited to talk to our next guest, whose career you heard highlights of right there. The 3-time Super Bowl champion, the 2-time Pro Bowler, the host of Breakfast Ball on FS1, which features Craig Carton and one other person whose name escapes me. Mark Schlereth is the host, and he joins me, Matt Spiegel, on Spiegel & Company, along with Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune, my co-host today on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort & Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Mark? Thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing great. My pleasure. Great to be on with you guys.
So, look, we have some advice later on how to deal with Danny Parkins, but before we get to that, as we share him as a partner... help us with some basics here in terms of offensive line play in the NFL and offensive line coaching in the NFL. How early is too early to make changes after 2 weeks when Caleb Williams has been brutalized? 36 pressures on 37 pass attempts, 49 total dropbacks on Sunday night. How early is too early, Mark?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you know, it was really funny to me because, you know, everybody in Chicago and Danny told me, you know, how talented we are on the edges and how we got all these receivers and we got a tight end and Caleb Williams is going to be the greatest thing ever. And he may still be, But the bottom line is that doesn't get you championship caliber football. You've got to control line of scrimmage. You've got to be able to block people. You know what? I look at, you know, kind of quote unquote the receivers, and you have the greatest receivers in the world. If your quarterback's under duress all the time, it matters not. So, you know, my big thing going into this year with Chicago was have you established yourself up front? Have you built it from the inside out, which you didn't? You built it from the outside in, which to me is never the right answer. So, you know, at what point do you start to panic? At what point do you start to switch things up? Like, I think it comes down to ultimately to the way you call a game first, because you're not all of a sudden going to get better players. It's not like you hit the waiver wire, your backups are better than your starters. So then it comes down to who's calling the plays. And how do you adjust the way you call plays, and how do you take the pressure off those guys up front to give them the best opportunity to have success? And like I always think about offensive line play kind of like this. Like, if you ask me to build a desk, so Shane Waldron, and you ask me to build a deck on the side of your house, right? And you want this beautiful deck, and you get me all the greatest lumber that there is out there. Like, you just, I mean, you spare no expense. You buy all this beautiful lumber, and then you hand me a hammer, and you say, build me a deck. I can build you a deck, but don't stand on it because the whole thing's going to fall apart. Like, if you're going to build a deck, you got to give me a saw. You got to give me a level. You got to give me a tape measure. You got to give me a hammer. You got to give me nails. You got to give me some fasteners. You got to give me the tools so that I can be successful. And oftentimes we get a bunch of toys and weapons, and then we say, oh, we're going to be great. And you don't give the guys up front the tools to have success. And so that is more, in my mind, play calling and understanding what you have than it is, we just got to get new guys. Because you're not going to get new guys, so you better decide how you're going to help those guys be successful by giving them the right tools.
So, Mark, if you're Shane Waldron, what is the first step this week in the troubleshooting process to work with and around the offensive line that you have?
So, for instance, okay, let's say you're going to throw it. Like, how many times you say they've thrown it so far? 37, and they've had 36 pressures.
Well, yeah, that was on Sunday night. Just on Sunday alone. That's what that was.
Sunday alone. All right, so. Oh, that's awful. So anyhow, that being said, sorry.
I was traveling back to
New York City from the game I called in DC, and then I got in late and I ended up watching the most of the second quarter and through the third quarter and into the fourth quarter before I kind of dozed off. So, but let me just say this. So let's say an average game, you're going to throw it 35 times, okay? That's like you're going to throw it 35 times.
Yep.
So my thought process in throwing it 35 times is how can I get that number down to about between 10 and 15 where my guys have to hold up and actually protect? So what I mean by that is, all right, how many three-step drops? Can I get in 5 3-step drops where I can attack the line of scrimmage and basically turn it into a run block? Okay, now I've taken that from 35 down to 30. Now can I have, 5 kind of swing pass / bubble screens? Can I have 5 just straight up or 3 or 4 screens? Can I have a couple of fake handoff boot keeps where I get 4 or 5 of those. I get my quarterback on the edge, outside the pocket with a half field read with a linear progression. Now I'm down to 22 passes, right? Now can I get 4 or 5 5 step drops where the ball's gone right now? So now all of a sudden it's a 5-step drop, but now as an offensive lineman, I go, well, all go means the ball's out without a hitch, right? So a 5-stepper without a hitch. So now all of a sudden I can go, okay, I can attack this and actually run block a 5-step drop, right? So now all of a sudden I'm at, let's call it 17. Now can I get 3 or 4, maybe 5 play passes where I've got seven-man protections, and we're flagging that ball out. Now I've got a, you know, a seven-step drop where my quarterback is actually about 11 and a half yards. So now I get four or five of those, and now I'm down to 12 times where I actually have to protect. And that's how a game has got to be called. Like, if you give up that many pressures and you give up sacks, here's what I always say about coordinators. The O-line doesn't suck nearly as much as the play caller sucks. And so those are the things you have to do. And think about it from a guy like me who played the position, my perspective. Like, we're the worst collective athletes on the football field, bar none. I mean, we're the worst athletes on the field. And we're matched up every time against a guy that's just as big as us and just as strong as us. But he's an exponentially better athlete than us. And I'm expected to block that guy 100 out of 100 times. And if I don't, I suck and he goes to the Pro Bowl. I give up one sack. I can whip his ass for 60 plays in a row. I give up one sack. He goes to the Pro Bowl and I suck. And show me one other position in football, or not football, but one other position in sport where unlike athletes match up. And if the worst athlete doesn't win every battle in that matchup, we don't say, oh, bench that guy. He's horrible.
So you need to.
Like, you have to understand how behind the eight ball you are as a group overall, and how important play calling becomes, how important running the ball becomes, how important setting up your play action becomes, how important all those tools that we talked about. So you're walking out on the football field and goes, here's your hammer. Good luck, guys. I hope it works out for you.
It's good stuff from Mark Schlereth, because like when we watch guys blow one-on-one blocks, or Darnell Wright, who's a damn good tackle, get deked out of his cleats by an incredible move from Danielle Hunter, the athletic discrepancy is massive, so expecting him to cover that every time is folly. That makes sense. Do you need at least one a-hole in an offensive line room? There's a batch of guys here who are very smart, really good personalities, good communicators, it seems, good leaders. I don't know if they have any nasty. Do you need one in a room?
You got to have dudes that got some nasty to them. And you know, a couple of guys that are a little bit salty. You need the one guy. You know, it's like we all got that drunk friend that, you know, or that one friend that when we go out drinking, like, it's your job to babysit him because he's going to try to fight somebody. Yeah. Like, you got to have the one guy in your group that when he gets a little bit heated, he wants to fight, right? There's just got to be that dude in your group. And so, yeah, I think there's got to be some of that. But there's got to be some finish, and there's got to be, you know, in like when I consult with different teams around the National Football League and in college, one of the things that I always tell teams that's imperative is, and I think we always had this, and this was kind of an attitude we had, is I want to take the passive out of pass protection. Like, I want to always try to be the aggressor.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I want to take that battle to the defense front. I want to make them think, like, oh, shoot, I got to protect against this. Or, oh, shoot, I got, like, if I can make you think, oh, it's run, and then all of a sudden you have to defend the run, and then all of a sudden you have to look back there and go, oh, shoot, it was pass, and now I have to restart my pass rush, I win 100% of those battles. And so how do I, as often as possible, take the passive out of doing something that's passive, you know, out of putting yourself between you and the quarterback? And how do I become the aggressor in those things? And that's something you've got to study. That's something you've got to understand. The other thing you have to understand is, like, I always think about this every time I line up. Where can I lose? Like, where can I lose this particular rep? And not that I'm planning on losing, but there's one place on a football field that I can't get beat. So I know if I have, for instance, let's say that I'm a left guard, and we've got, you know, a combination, a route combination, a flood combination that consists with a halfback burst. So we're in something I would call a three jet halfback, you know, something halfback burst, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know the halfback has got to release out of the B gap on the weak side of the formation. Meaning if I'm playing left guard, mm-hmm. he's going to go through the gap between me and the left tackle. So where can I lose? Well, I can lose outside because the running back has to go through that gap. So now what am I going to do as a guard? Well, I'm going to take a hard inside set, and I'm going to make sure that's the one place I can't lose because I have no help there. Yeah. I'm one-on-one. So I take that hard inside set, and I even sell it as run a little bit, and I say invite you to go to the outside gap. I invite you. I funnel you to that place where I know I can lose because you know what I have there late? The running back coming through there.
Hmm.
And now all of a sudden he's going to either chip you or you guys are going to stop because you're trying to avoid each other. And I just won without touching you.
It's great
and
stuff.
And those are the things that you have to understand how to play this game and how to take that passive mm-hmm. out of what is oftentimes a passive role.
I just want to follow up on the nasty that you were talking about. Like, I love the image of needing that one guy to be like your drunk friend who you hope doesn't get in the fight. Because if you don't have that, can an offensive line coach or can a coordinator manufacture it if you don't have a surplus of it naturally?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to just have an attitude as a group that we set the tone. And, you know, and that's got to be something that is preached, that is worked on. And, you know, and the other thing is, like, you finish every drill, you win every drill, and you finish every play. And, you know, and if you can, you know, if you can finish a dude to the ground and put your helmet in his jaw and try to break the damn thing, that's what you do. And I'm not trying to be, you know, cliche or trying to be nasty or trying to be, trying to be dirty. I wasn't a dirty player, but you're damn right. If I get a shot, like I expect, hey, if you get a shot on me, I expected you to take it. And if I get a shot on you, you damn well better know I'm going to try to shorten your neck. And that's just the way I was going to play, and that's the way the game was played. And if you didn't play that way, you don't get to play. Like that was always, you know, that's how I learned it. That's how it always was. And so, you know, we didn't have a problem going, hey guys, you got to be nasty. And bottom line, here's the other thing that I think is, you know, important and maybe it's a little different in today's game, but, If you didn't have that kind of attitude, then we didn't want you. You weren't part of the group. You weren't invited. Like you didn't get to play. And so, you know, there was an attitude of this is the way we play the game, and it's not dirty, but it is hard nosed and it's nasty. You guys had one of the nastiest players, mean as a snake, Olin Cruz,
yep.
who I loved watching play. It's the way the game's supposed to be played. He's not dirty. But he's going to finish every block. And if he's got a chance to bury you into the turf, he's going to do it because that's what's required. So, like, that's an attitude that I just am a believer in. And if you don't have it, then shame on you.
So, Mark, if I put you in the offensive line room at Halas Hall this week and you know what the concerns are, you know the performance you're coming off of, and then you see an opponent that's given up almost 500 yards of rushing in the first two games of the season, what's the mindset and how do you sort of try to use that as part of a pain reliever for what you're feeling?
Well, I mean, for me, if you're going against somebody that has had that struggle, like the biggest thing is that they're working on it, right? And they're working on attitude. They're working on fixing it. And they're working on this, that, and the other. And what I want is I want to crease them. And it doesn't take like, they may have some success early. All I need is one crease run. And then you know what they say? Oh, shoot, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, this is what's been costing us. Oh, goodness. Like I used to say it all the time when, you know, I played on really, you know, I was fortunate. I played on some really good teams. I played on a Washington team that started the season 11-0. I played on a Denver team that started the season 13-0. And I remember sitting in Cincinnati once, and Cincinnati wasn't any good. They never were. Like, in my time in the NFL, Cincinnati was garbage. And, you know, and they had a lot of first-rounders, though. They had a ton of talent. They just weren't any good. And they're giving it to us in a game. And we're 9-10-0, 11-0, whatever we were. And we're in Cincinnati. And, you know, it's a back-and-forth game. And it's they've got us by a touchdown or whatever they got us by. And I remember just sitting on the bench just thinking, their coaches have told them one thing all week. Hey, guys, like, we're going to have to play close to perfect to beat this team. And I always think, like, there's never been a perfect game played. So wait for them to make the first mistake, and they're going to go, oh, no, here we go again.
Yeah.
And then we're going to open up the floodgates and just run through them like poop through a goose. And exactly what, you know, exactly what happened. So it just is, it mindset is really important. And when a team is struggling, you never want to give them energy. You never want to help them out by not, you know, continuing to press and do what you do best. And, you know, it's funny. I'm just digging through because I've got Detroit this weekend. I'm digging through the tape and they're playing Tampa and they just flat decide with one of the best offensive lines and one of the best run games in football, basically not to run the ball. And in the first half, they're, you know, they just chose essentially not to run the ball. And I wrote down my, like, it's funny that we're even having this conversation because I wrote down my rules and I sent them, like, go build me a graphic, like joking to my production crew. I go, build me a graphic. And I said, this is like, they in the first 20 plays, I think they ran it three times. And I used to have rules for my offensive coordinator, and we put in the first 15. If we didn't have a run on the first three plays of the first 15 plays of the game, like we would do it, we'd walk through it on Saturday. If we didn't have a run in the first three plays, we're going to fight. And I mean, I'd come right out of my stance and go, what are we F doing? And if we had more than one seven-step drop in the first five plays, we're going to fight. And because, like, I want to establish physicality. I want to establish, like, you're in for an all-day sucker. And this is not going to be one of those, it ain't going to be easy. And if we play again later on in the season, like, you're going to know what you're in for. Or if we meet you in the playoffs, you're going to be going, oh, shoot, you know, here are these crazy, you know, screwballs again. Mm-hmm. And so that was just the mindset and the attitude that we had as, you know, as a football team of, and especially, I mean, I grew up playing for the Hogs, right? I mean, that was just the way it was. We were the backbone of that organization. When I went to Denver, like, that was what I demanded. That was what our offensive line coach demanded. We're going to be the backbone of this team. And in any good team, their O-line is the backbone of the team. It's not the receivers. It's not the, like, that's foolish talk.
Yeah, you know, it's no coincidence. No coincidence that Elway won his two titles with you guys when Terrell Davis and the running game had been established. And here we see Kyle Shanahan carrying that forward with the run game. It's amazing. How's it been working with Danny Parkins? He idolizes quarterbacks and wide receivers and offense. You've probably gotten to the bottom of that already, Mark.
Yeah, well, you know, he's just a kid. And like I told him today, you know what I was doing when I was your age? And he said, what? And I go, I was dispensing freaking justice in the National Football League is what I was doing. When now we're here talking all about, you know, receivers and how great Caleb Williams is going to be. I love Danny. He's awesome. And, you know, we are, like, we're very different in our approach to things because, you know, he's very analytic and he's very smart and he's very researched. And I'm very eyeball test. I introduced the only analytic that I use, and I created the analytic, and it is called the BOO test, B-O-O.
Okay.
And that stands for balls over opponent. If my balls are bigger than your balls, guess what? I'm probably going to kick your ass. And that's only an eyeball analytic. And I'll let you know exactly whose nuts are bigger. And so beyond that, I don't have any time. I don't have any desire to know, you know, like what the analytics tell me to do on third down or fourth down and two.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful. Mark, when Danny had a child, I told him on the air, as his partner, I told him, this is the humbling that you need, my friend. Having a child will give you the humbling that you need. And we've laughed about it, but I realize from a football perspective, he's needed to work next to you. You know, like this is something he had coming, is to get to work next to you every day.
Well, it's been, I tell you what, it's been such a pleasure, and he is like my little brother. You know, we went out to dinner last night, and I have to pay. It's like going to dinner with my father. My father still won't let me pay for a damn thing. And so when I take Danny out, Danny's not paying for anything. You know, he's like my little brother. Aww. So we're having a good time though, and they've been both he and Carton have been so good to me because.
Oh, did we lose him?
Dude, when they signed me to do this, mm-hmm. I was on the plane, and I'm talking to the producer. I'm not on the plane yet. I'm at the airport, and I'm heading to New York. We're doing some rehearsals. And so the guy's like, okay, listen, now, when you bring it in and out of break, and I said, excuse me? I mean, 23 years I've been in television. I've never hosted anything. They go, yeah, when you bring it in, I go, what do you mean when I bring it in? Yeah, when you bring have they not told you? I go, told me what? And go, well, you're hosting the show. I go, I can't even read. How am I going to host the show? What do you mean I'm hosting the show? A dyslexic kid from Alaska. I can't host a show.
Nah, you're killing it. You're killing it, man. It's been a great watch. We wanted to offer, you've been generous with your time, Stink. We appreciate it. If we can call you Stink, maybe that's just for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good. Thank you, sir. But we wanted to offer you some advice from Shane and Tanny, our producers, and from me and from Dan Weider, some advice on working with Danny Parkins. Shane, what do you got for Mark Schlereth?
Yeah, here's the thing, Mark. I know you played in the NFL for a long time. You've been doing even media longer than Danny has been doing media, but I'm here to tell you, as Danny's former executive producer, literally none of that matters. No matter what you can tell Danny, he already knows. 90% of the things that you say, he'll respond, Mark, I know that. No matter what you can say, he knows it already. So don't even bother. Don't tell him anything. Okay, he knows it already.
I'm duly noted. I'm taking my notes.
All right, excellent. Chris Tannehill. Tanny, any advice for Mark Schlereth?
Yeah, this is more so for the whole Fox Sports crew over there. I would have a backup plan because one day Danny is going to get that call from an NFL team to run an offense for them. So, you know, just have that in mind with everything you guys do. Just have a backup plan. Have options.
I can see that. Like, Danny,
we've been listening.
Know your stuff.
Yes. Yeah, we've been listening to your takes, and we think you're on it. Here you go.
So I'm firing all of our tailbacks. We don't need a tailback. I would need 9 wide receivers. We're throwing the ball only.
Dan Weider, any advice for Mark Schlereth?
Yeah, Mark, I don't know what your philosophy is on a growing football team and its ability to learn how to win, but if you have one, I would share that hourly, if not two, 3 times per hour.
Yeah,
if you
maybe
can.
2, 3 times per hour. That's good. That's excellent advice. And then I would say, just in general, don't ask him to fix anything or put anything together of any kind. It will take hours and then it will break. No matter what it is, it will end up breaking.
No, you know, I mentioned, I go, hey, man, I went to the Fox gym at Fox News, the Fox News building. They have a gym.
Uh-huh.
And I went down there and signed in and got myself all set up. And it's a really nice gym, so I was really excited about it. And so Danny and I are walking to dinner, and I was like, hey, man, you should sign up at that gym. The gym is really good. They got a couple of squat racks, and they got, like, real live weights. It's not like the hotel gym. So, you know, you can get some work. And he goes, yeah, because that's what I need to do squats. And you looked at me, and I was like, yeah, good point. Like, you're not doing it. I mean, you couldn't even get the bar on your back without it just crushing, folding you like an accordion.
But he's got a sense of humor about all of it. So,
he's great.
Yeah, man, I'm glad. Well, enjoy him. If you ever need advice, you give us a call back because we know how to tame the wild Parkins if it ever comes up.
Sounds good, guys. You guys take care.
Hey, Mark, thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Mark.
That's Mark Schlereth.
I don't think there's a building that Danny will be further away from than the Fox News gym.
That's number one on the list of buildings to avoid in New York City.
Yeah, me and Tucker, we're next to each other on the Peloton. Tucker's numbers, really good. You see Hannity today?
Laura Ingram was here. She's curling. Laura Ingram, stronger than me.
Hannity couldn't bust a grape on that rowing machine.
Oh, I tried to tell him, Kamala knows what she's doing. She's been there the whole time, but it's going to be different.
Oh, there's so much gold in there from Mark Schlereth. Oh, goodness. It is Spiegs and Dan Wiederer, Spiegel and Company here on 670 The Score. Folks, I'm not sure if you're paying attention, but we've actually learned a lot about the worst team in professional sports the last few days. We're going to share that before the top of the hour here on The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It is Spiegel & Company, Spiegs and Dan Wiederer here on The Score. Mark Schlereth, great fun talking about Danny Parkins, of course, and that show and what it's like. But I thought some of the stuff in there about how you need the nasty Dan Wiederer, like how you need that guy who might get in a fight and like everybody's just sort of trying to control him and just everything. You could tell everything that Schlereth was talking about from playing with really good offensive lines was about delivering the blow as opposed to pulling back and taking the blow.
And winning the BOO principle, as we learned today, today, right? Like, that's going to be a big deal here. as we go forward and try to add analytics into some of our O-line conversations.
Well, this is the thing. It's football, mister.
Right.
Like Doug Buffone used to say, it's football, and it's different than the other sports in terms of talking about it, because there's a level of toughness that is demanded and matters from play to play.
No question. I think it was also interesting that he talked about the opponent that the Bears are facing this week, who you look at the headlines out of Indianapolis, and everybody's firing on Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator who has not found a way to stop the run. So there's going to be some psychological warfare going both ways this weekend, I think, with two teams that are struggling, trying to be the first one that lands the blow that makes the other struggling unit feel like, oh no, we're struggling again, right?
Yes.
And so that's going to be a key part in Sunday's game, is who strikes first, the Bears rushing attack or the Colts running defense.
The other headline out of Indianapolis is that DeForest Buckner has been put on injured reserve.
Not great for the Colts.
So that means four games away from them. And so now they've been run on with Buckner,
right,
as much as they have, and now they don't have him for this weekend.
So get something. Establish something early and put that doubt in their mind before they put that doubt in your mind, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's going to be a big part of this game, I think.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's an age-old football thing, as you know. It's like this idea of the flash and the speed and the everything, but the offensive line has to be inflicting damage and feel like they can move people around.
No question about it. It's also a corrections league, and I always think about this. I mean, in my first or second year in the league, talking to Jared Allen in Minnesota, they were going to play an opponent that had given up 8 or 9 sacks in the previous game. And he said, look, like, this league is all about corrections. The other teams know what they did wrong the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're expecting to get 8 or 9 sacks, you don't understand that they're going to probably be using max protection a lot. They're going to be using your guys, max protect and chip help.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to do everything they can to prevent that from becoming a trend. And so now you have to start to play that chess match as well of trying to figure out what they're doing to strengthen their weakness while you are also trying to attack that weakness.
We'll have incredible football stuff for you at the top of the hour. A top 5 pick from an LA school who played as a rookie quarterback in a big market gave exclusive insight to Dan Weider. That's coming at the top of the hour. But when we come back, we've learned a lot about the worst team in professional sports, including the name of a really powerful person and what his job seems to be. Very intriguing stuff that might have slipped through the cracks. We'll explain next on The Score.
Go, go, White Sox! Welcome back inside the booth. As promised, General Manager Chris Getz is now in the house. He'll be with us for the entire third inning.
Let's talk a little bit, Chris, about the thought process going forward. What are your priorities going to be when you look ahead to next year?
Well, I mean, we feel pretty good where we're at from a pitching standpoint, whether that be through the draft, acquisitions, just the development of our arms. Now, offensively, that's an area that we're very light on. You know, we're not going to be working heavy in free agency. We've got guys out on the field right now that need to improve their game. A lot of these guys are young players and need to make the adjustments to be more productive.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
The White Sox fan reaction, courtesy of Chris Tannehill. Shane Reardon's head is in his hands right now. As Chris Getz says, they're not going to add via free agency. Bob Nightingale, a couple days later in USA Today, with this item, and it's not long. The Chicago White Sox, who should break baseball's all-time record of 120 losses this week, plan to cut payroll in 2025 after sustaining substantial losses.
To what? That is the most perfect sentence ever written about the White Sox.
One more time off the top,
speed.
Okay, yeah. Run that back,
all
Matthew.
Right, all right, let me finish it this time because the sentence is even better.
Go ahead.
Here's the full sentence. It's one sentence. The Chicago White Sox, who should break baseball's all-time record of 120 losses this week, plan to cut payroll in 2025 after sustaining substantial losses in revenue during this horrific season. That's the sentence. That's amazing, isn't it? They're going to cut payroll. Well, look, they stink. And spending more right now for 1 year or whatever, it's not going to work. They're not ready to spend. You guys, they have to be the Rays. They have to be the Brewers. That's what they have to be.
No!
I've said it for years. Are they smart like the Rays or the Brewers? If they're going to be smart, then awesome.
Well, this takes us to the other news item. That is fascinating.
Is this the locksmith they hired to change the locks on Chris Getz's office so he can't get in anymore?
No.
Oh, no.
But
what did they do?
Jeff Passan wrote a long piece on what life is like with the White Sox these days. That included, it included a description of a guy's job.
And ends in a psych ward.
That I've never heard before. Okay? So Chris Getz gets hired,
And we know that they brought in Brian Bannister, gets his former teammate in Kansas City, take control of the pitching arms within the White Sox. I like that hire. And I think it's going to work out pretty well. It's already interesting. Josh Barfield, Paul Janish, both former big leaguers, are player acquisition and player development people. And then there's this one, and I had not even heard this name. I host a baseball show, okay, on Sundays.
You should know his name.
Brian Mahler, M-A-H-L-E-R. I loved his uncle Gustav. Tremendous, tremendous composer. Brian Mahler, a former Harvard lacrosse player who went on to become a Marine and Navy SEAL before earning a law degree from Georgetown, joined the White Sox as Director of Leadership, Culture, and Continuing Education. This is a man, Brian Mahler, who, according to Passan, came into the organization having never worked in baseball. He is at the heart of Chicago's front office, part of the overhaul in Chicago's front office, and a committee headed by Brian Mahler is expected to recommend a suite of changes for the organization to institute in the coming years. It is a multi-year project with a focus, sources said, on optimizing resources, scaling processes, and connecting departments. And Reinsdorf, who is 88, is backing it after years of wanting to win now. That is a lot to take in, folks. And I want to hear everybody's reaction.
I've got one.
But I got to give you mine first, okay?
Please.
I don't know anything about this guy. I'm just learning about this guy. Maybe his personality's weird and things could go screwy because it's so White Sox. I don't know. But on the face of it, I actually freaking love the idea of somebody looking at it and saying, what you're doing is ridiculous, because what they've been doing for years has failed and is ridiculous. Their departments are not connected. They have terrible synergy in what they do. This is a very big bus. It's going to make a very slow turn. And I think it's, you know, the more eyes you can get from outside your organization, I prefer it if they came from a healthy baseball organization. That would make a little more sense to me. But having somebody who you think really understands leadership and synergy to come in and take a look at what you're doing and say, what the hell is wrong with you after a year of observing? I think that actually has some potential, because whatever they've been doing for like a long, long time is absolute trash.
I do think you buried the lead a little bit in the passing piece and not acknowledging that they hired Mark Schlereth to build a deck on the side of guaranteed right field. We can get to that in the next segment. But I'm with you that there are points in an organization's history where you need to examine everything. And if this is an attempt to examine everything and change things, there's parallels for me in the regime change between Ted Phillips and Kevin Warren at Hallis Hall, and just bringing in a new set of eyes with different ambitions and different directives to try to shake loose the mediocrity and sweep it out the door.
Uh-huh.
Like if you're making those efforts with earnesty, I think there's a lot to rally behind there.
All right. So it's certainly interesting. Dude has never worked in baseball. He is a former lacrosse player who became a Marine and a Navy SEAL. I've been Googling Brian Mahler. I found some stuff where he was at the Leaders and Legends conference that included baseball people and military people. I wonder if this is where they met, because Jim Leland was there.
It's got to be a fun group, huh?
And Ricky Henderson was there. Jim Edmonds.
Actually, yeah, that is a fun group. If Ricky was there.
Jim Edmonds.
I walked that back.
I know, but I mean, like, this is Leaders and Legends at a bunch of sports people and a bunch of military people all mixed together. But look, it's very interesting to me. I don't mind the idea of fresh eyes looking at the way you do everything. Interesting that he's heading the committee, though.
So here's the thing. I would be for the White Sox bringing in a Marine or a Navy SEAL if that guy's job was to take everybody out via guerrilla warfare. Just pop up from anywhere and, hey, you're gone, buddy. Sorry, just take him out. Number two, is his office by the airport? Is this Tony Robbins? I feel like they're bringing in a Tony Robbins-esque motivational speaker to run the team.
Oh, God.
This guy's by O'Hare running the White Sox. Like, he's coming into a corporate Fortune 500 company and just showing you, like, how to talk better by the water cooler. This guy sounds like a dumbass already.
He's not running the team. He's the director of leadership, culture, and continuing education.
In respect to Marines, obviously. Well, my father's a Marine. But, like, respect there. But I just wish he'd take everyone out.
And I respect baseball consultants. My father's a baseball consultant. But no. But truthfully, like, look.
Consult you to be, not be a White Sox.
He's
not very good at it. But, like, this is all window dressing because you're talking about just draft and develop hitters that can get on base. Don't fire your scouts after you've had a draft and after they've had an impact on your calendar year. They fired Marco Patti, their head of international scouting, in the middle of the season. Yeah. Why the middle? Why not just wait to the end, or how about before the year starts?
Right, but maybe they discovered that Marco Patti was bad or had really been struggling or whatever. Like, look, their departments are not connected. We've talked about this. Like, their minor leagues does not produce people with the skills that they need from their manager at the top. There is a way that synergistic organizations in baseball run. You have to win in the margins. If you're trying to be the Rays or trying to be the Brewers, you're going to have to win with all those kind of things working together. So they've got to figure some stuff out. It's an interesting person to be in charge of that committee, but I like that there's a freaking committee to recommend a suite of changes for the organization. They've been needing to do that kind of thing for decades.
I mean, this is all about creating organizational health, right? In some way, shape, and form, and that's got to be wide spanning. And maybe there won't be guerrilla warfare involved, but maybe they can get some changes.
At bare minimum, this guy should take away someone's swing line stapler.
Yeah, Texter says waterboard the scouting department. No, can't do that, Texter.
Another Texter says, are we certain that he's a Navy SEAL? Is he not maybe just a regular a regular SEAL?
Waterboard Yoan Moncada. You can't say that, dude.
They hired an actual SEAL. That's not a Navy SEAL. With a SEAL here and a SEAL here.
I hate them so much.
Unbelievable. Let's talk football with you because Dan Weider has exclusive insight from a former top 5 pick quarterback who played in a big market as a rookie. We'll do it next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
parts.